Welcome, everybody. And I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We have some breaking news this hour. A prosecutor handpicked by Donald Trump after pushing out the prosecutor in the Eastern District of Virginia's U.S. Attorney's Office. With no experience in prosecuting cases, this is Lindsay Halligan, has secured an indictment of New York's Attorney General Letitia James after the president pressured Justice Department officials to charge her, according to four people familiar with the matter, as reported by the New York Times just moments ago. The targeting of Attorney General James, a New York Democrat who, as you will all recall, brought a civil case against Donald Trump, comes just 2 weeks after the same handpicked, completely inexperienced prosecutor, Lindsay Halligan, indicted Jim Comey, the former FBI director, on charges he lied to Congress. James Comey pleaded not guilty this past Wednesday, and his attorneys accused Ms. Halligan of vindictive and selective prosecution. We're going to talk about this in just a few minutes on this program, in light of reporting just last evening by the Wall Street Journal that indeed, remember that Truth Social post to Attorney General Bondi that looked like it was supposed to be a direct message, a private message to Pam Bondi? The Wall Street Journal reported yesterday that indeed that was intended to be a direct message to Pam Bondi. We're going to talk about what selective prosecution actually is. We're going to take your calls this afternoon. In other breaking news today, an off-duty Milwaukee police officer has shot and killed a man after an altercation after the two men were involved in a minor traffic crash, as confirmed by Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman earlier this afternoon. The shooting happened on West Mill Road near 47th Street at about 8:30 a.m. Again, this happened this morning. Chief Norman said that after the crash, both men exited their vehicles. The driver apparently or allegedly drew a gun, hit the off-duty police officer in the face with it, after which the driver and the officer exchanged gunfire. The chief has said that it is unknown who fired first, but that both men fired shots, the officer firing his department-issued gun. He was apparently on his way to work wearing plain clothes when the crash occurred. There was video that circulated widely on social media immediately after the crash, showing a man down on the ground in front of the car and another man standing holding a gun. There has been a bit of uproar. And in an interesting twist of fate, the chief was actually before the Common Council's Finance Committee at the time of the shooting, presenting the Milwaukee Police Department's budget. That police officer is 40 years old with 21 years of experience, Chief Norman said. He has been placed on administrative leave during the investigation, which will be handled by West Dallas Police Department. Pretty shocking stuff to lead us off today, everyone. I want to also then pivot and give you all an update on where we stand with respect to the closure of the federal government, the shutdown. We continue on many days into the government shutdown. One fact that I looked up this afternoon, which I thought I would bring to each and every one of you, is the fact that 90% of the federal government's food safety workers are currently furloughed. And we all know that these kinds of folks, these civil servants, are so essential to the health and safety of all of us. This is happening across not just the FDA, but within the EPA, the SEC, and an incredible large swath of government employees. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to remind us all that as the federal government shutdown continues, as the MAGA regime that controls both houses of Congress, the White House, as well as the Supreme Court, fails to do anything to negotiate in good faith with Democrats over a pending healthcare emergency, when the ACA exchanges open on November 1st. As that is going on, it is state and local government public servants that are really stepping up. So in this time where, again, public servants, I think, are constantly vilified, I just wanted to remind you all that there are incredibly good people, the civil servants, the career public servants, especially right now in state and local government, that are out there doing the people's work, trying to keep the wheels on the bus and trying to keep the essential functions going for so very many of us. And lest we forget, Donald Trump has spoken extensively on who is responsible for these closings. So let's collectively refresh our recollection.
If there is a shutdown, I think it would be a tremendously negative mark on the President of the United States. He's the one that has to get people together. I hear the Democrats are going to be blamed and the Republicans are going to be blamed. I actually think the president would be blamed.
Well, if you say who gets fired, it always has to be the top. I mean, problems start from the top and they have to get solved from the top. And the president's the leader and he's got to get everybody in a room and he's got to lead.
If that happens, I would absolutely blame the Democrats.
I heard Boehner before I left say there's no way we're going to close up government. Well, that means the other side just won. Because if you don't have that at least threat, you can't do anything. You can't, and they got nothing. You got to say, we're going to close it, we're going to close it. You got to scare them.
As far as keeping the government open, I think we want to keep the government open. Don't you agree?
But you can't negotiate when your top person said, there's no way we close up government.
Build that wall. Now, the obstructionist Democrats would like us not to do it, but believe me, we have to close down our government. We're building that wall.
And it goes on and on and on. The point here is that Donald Trump, when convenient for him, of course, blames the top guy, blames the president. And when it's inconvenient for him, he blames other people. But he is the president of the United States. And a listener earlier this week asked me whether or not congressional Republicans, specific Senate Republicans, could engage what is known as the nuclear option to do away with the 60-vote requirement to pass a continuing resolution to fund the U.S. government. And indeed, that is possible for a continuing resolution. Senate Republicans haven't done so. So again, folks, the MAGAs control both houses of Congress. They have well enough members in the Senate to exercise the nuclear option to take away the requirement of 60 votes to pass a continuing resolution with their razor-thin majority in the Senate. They control the White House and the Supreme Court. All the Democrats are asking is that the MAGAs sit down with them in good faith and talk about the fact that the big, brutal bill stripped away the essential tax credit for folks like small business owners, like those that work for small business owners that can't get employer-based health care, farmers, and early retirees, amongst many, many others. Think waiters and waitresses and bartenders and folks that are self-employed, to make sure that these people can continue to afford good quality health care through the ACA exchanges. That is the Democrats' demand. That is the thing that Republicans continue to lie about, obfuscate, and refuse to negotiate in good faith over. And if you don't want to take my word for it, you need only listen to one of the biggest MAGAs in the House of Representatives, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. She gets it. Why don't other Republicans take a listen?
It is hurting so many people, Manu. Seriously, so many people across the board, no matter how they vote. I'm literally calling it out and saying, let's take off our Democrat jerseys, let's take off our Republican jerseys, and we should do something responsible for the American people and fix this.
We should do something responsible for the American people and fix this. My goodness, when Marjorie Taylor Greene can see the truth and is willing to break ranks with her party because she knows that folks in her districts are going to be incredibly hurt. What's wrong with Mike Johnson? I just don't understand. This is not an enormous demand from Democrats. It's a very narrow one. And folks, remember, the ACA exchanges are opening on November 1st. They will remain open for this enrollment period until January 15th. Now, the reality is that most folks that have obtained health insurance through the ACA exchanges, when they enroll, they can click a button that automatically enrolls them for their same plan the next year. Folks in that bucket, which is the vast majority of enrollees through the ACA exchanges, may not be aware of their premiums doubling or tripling until they get a notice from their insurance carriers towards the very end of the year, during the holiday time. That will be quite the Merry Christmas from Donald Trump and congressional MAGAs. Unbelievable. And I wanted to share this other fact with you as we update everyone on the government shutdown and what is really at stake here. And that is this fact. Amongst all congressional Republicans that make up the Wisconsin Republican Congressional Caucus, that is Brian Steele, Derek Van Orten, Scott Fitzgerald, Glenn Grothman, Tom Tiffany, and Tony Weed, the number of folks whose health care will be at risk, either through the defunding of the Obamacare ACA tax credits or the nearly $1 trillion cuts to Medicaid and Medicare in the big, brutal bill, the total number of Wisconsinites whose health care is at risk in those Republican Congress members' districts is northward of 60,000, okay? Those are the people in this state. And if Marjorie Taylor Greene can figure that out for her constituents, what is wrong with Congressman Steele, Van Orten, Fitzgerald, Grothman, Tiffany, and Weed? This is an enormous problem. And again, all we hear day in and day out are MAGAs on national news, like Mike Johnson, continuing to lie to the American people about what's at stake here. This is the greatest abrogation of duty by Congress, aside from their complete inability to check the powers of an out-of-control, power-mad president. But even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, and it seems that Donald Trump may have stumbled across one. It appears that we have the beginnings of a peace deal in the Israel-Hamas conflict. We're going to discuss that on the other side. Invite you to join all of us, 855-752-4842. Up next, we discuss that peace deal and what comes next in Gaza. 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.